Welcome to the ERMI podcast. I'm Joel Applebaum, Chief Content Officer at ERMI. In this 16-minute podcast titled Bringing Down Silos and Safety Management, Tricia Kager of Jordan Foster Construction describes how construction safety management systems have evolved from traditional compliance-based models and shares insights into how future-oriented contractors are tearing down the silos and uniting around total human health by merging their efforts in risk management, safety, leadership, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and overall well-being. This talk was originally presented at the 2023 ERMI Construction Risk Conference as a snap talk. We really hope you enjoy it.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. I'm here to talk about breaking down silos and safety management. And like most of you and our speaker yesterday, Joan Woodward, I didn't plan as a child to be a construction risk management safety person. It just happened by a series of different events throughout my career. And each place where I went in my career, I was able to see how safety is treated within organizations. And quite frankly, I know one thing for sure is true. We still have a lot of work to do when it comes to safety. We haven't really figured out how to change things for the better consistently across the board. The reality is safety oftentimes begins as an afterthought. In 1911, in New York City, there was a factory called the Great Shirtwaist Factory Company. And they decided to prevent theft, they would lock all their doors every day so they wouldn't have their items stolen. Unfortunately, when there was a fire that broke out, 500 people were locked inside and 146 people lost their lives. Not the best plan. Seatbelts were invented in 1885. It wasn't until 1984, 99 years later, that they became mandated in vehicles. I remember personally driving from New York City to El Paso, Texas, when my parents moved. That's a whole other story we'll have to get into another time. And we were in my family station wagon with the wood panels on the side, and I rode the entire trip in the back, way back, not just the back seat, in the way back with my collie dog named Bonnie. To this day, nobody would ever think of doing that. Like, what were my parents thinking? We would never let a toddler stand up in the back of a car, but that's the way it was back then. Today, OSHA, and now, you wouldn't think of ever having your child stand up in the back of a vehicle. My mom used to tell me I had a trick. I was able to stand up in the back seat of the car and look in the mirror and make myself cry if I wanted something. So anyway, I used to stand up in the car a lot, but we would never do that today. Same thing with OSHA. OSHA's been around for 50 years, and I've worked in construction for more than 20. OSHA's supposed to be the bare minimum. It's the bare minimum of regulations, and yet we still see that we can't get it right. There's a lot of companies that struggle every day. So we definitely have more work to do when it comes to safety. And really, I believe the more we silo safety, the more we talk about it as something separate, the more difficult it gets for it to actually make a difference. So what's happening is very different leadership styles going on within organizations that drive how we support and challenge our efforts related to safety. First leadership style that has always been rewarded in both the safety industry and the construction industry is the dominant leadership style, the iron fist style, right? Very high challenge, very low support. Coming out and saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, and really, but not giving a lot of support in how we're supposed to get there. Any parents in the room? This looks like in parenting, when you're at your wit's end with your child and you say, you're going to do it because I said so. How many of us have been there? How'd that work out for us, right? You may get what you want in that moment, but you lose trust and you lose communication. So the dominant is very prominent in our industry. Then there's the protector. The protector is the high support, low challenge type of leadership. I am a recovering protector. You take on everything for everyone. It makes it easy for the field to say, oh, well, let's just call Tricia. Let's call the safety person. She'll take care of it, right? But where does that get us? It gets you into a situation where there's unrealistic expectations, constant disappointment, constant stress put on the safety person as well. And then the field operations is not empowered, and they can't influence because they're relying on someone else to take care of all the problems. The third style of leadership that causes some challenges is low support, low challenge, which is where we abdicate safety, we abdicate continuous improvement and performance excellence, because we just accept the status quo. So in this case, it sounds a little bit like, well, we know in construction for the last 10 years, what have we been talking about? We don't have a labor force, right? We don't have a pipeline of people that are coming into the industry. So what does that do? We have to keep the people we have at all costs. So does that mean we water down the expectations because we can't hold people accountable? Well, we can't really change the way we're doing that because if we do, they might leave. Can't put cameras in vehicles because people don't want them and they're going to quit. That's definitely a way to accept the status quo, but it comes at a cost. It also looks like this is the way we've always done things around here. We're not going to change. The quadrant that is the most powerful, where we can make a difference, is called the liberating quadrant. It's also very challenging. It's giving people something to believe in, a vision for where we're going as an organization. And safety is ingrained and entwined in that vision, along with every other aspect of performance excellence within the organization. It's hard to achieve, very hard to achieve, because each and every leader, and I believe everyone is a leader within organizations, you have to know yourself, you have to lead yourself, and you have to give people a vision and a reason to follow you. In the parenting world, liberating leadership looks like this. You tell your child that making a decision, I know you, I trust you, and I know you're going to do the right thing. And then you stand back and get out of the way. That's liberating leadership. It will never work with toddlers. That's the disclaimer. Don't try it on toddlers. Toddlers need structure. But at some point, your young adults need to be empowered that you've got their back if they need you. Same thing in the organizations. People want to know that they're valued. They want to believe that, they want to see that their communication and their opinions matter. It's hard to do, but once you get it going, it's unstoppable. And that's where you can make a difference with diversity, equity, inclusion. You can expand the definition of safety to include the whole person. Total worker health becomes a reality. So here are five indications that safety is siloed in your organization. If safety is not represented at the executive leadership level, there's no voice in the executive leadership room where people are making decisions, that's a challenge. Safety is excluded from different organizational functions like insurance, legal, claims, wellness, diversity, equity, inclusion, and training and education and communication. Safety is left out of design, operations, subcontractor management planning, and bidding. This is my favorite. Safety is considered overhead. I can't tell you how many times in my career that I've been referred to as overhead, and it really makes me mad because I don't think I am. And then safety is responsible for all the project activities, and they are blamed when problems arise. So if you're blaming the safety management team or you're blaming the employee, we've got some work to do. What's interesting, there's a study that was done a few months ago where they surveyed safety professionals, and they reported that they feel pigeonholed and that they're unable to have influence within their organizations. And it's a very frustrating place to be. What I have a hard time with is understanding why, because the one thing we can all agree on is safety is necessary because we all care about human life. So it's really the one great equalizer that if you look at different organizational functions through the lens of safety, it's something we should all be able to agree with. Because when we deviate, people can get hurt. So imagine a leadership flywheel. Basically, what we're wanting is a flywheel. We want it to spin on its own, perpetuating its own motion. And the way to achieve that type of motion, where you can accomplish much far better goals in your organization, is through making sure that that's self-propelled. And it starts with communication. So communication is the key to getting everything going, where people are on the same page. And communication is the catalyst to building relationships. When a great example of a failure in communication is when Risk or Safety sponsors a training program within your organization and nobody shows up. And what's the reason people don't show up? Their manager told them not to come because they are busy. That is a message in communicating. And what are they saying? That safety takes a back seat to productivity. So whether it's transmitted verbally or whether it's a decision not to support an effort that should have been planned throughout the organization for everyone, there's a challenge there. So we build communication and trust. That's how we get to where we have relationships. And relationships are necessary to get to alignment within organizations. Alignment is the safety meeting that I just mentioned in our example. It's planned ahead of time. It's at a time and a place that executive management and project management teams have all agreed and come to a consensus that this is what's going to happen. Oh, and the executive leadership is sitting in that meeting as well, because that sends a message that this is a priority. And that's alignment. Alignment leads to execution. Execution is when you can start getting things done that you never thought possible. And this is where we can begin. If we expand the definition of safety to include diversity, equity, inclusion, where we're working on the whole person, the mental well-being. We heard yesterday over and over again and again for the last 15 years that our construction industry has a challenge with mental illness in the workplace that can potentially lead to suicide. And part of it is that dominating culture that I mentioned earlier. How do you break through that? How do you change it? Part of it is by executing and creating trust and having people on the same page by expanding that definition of safety. And then capacity, when everyone's going in the same direction and there's alignment, that's when where you can make a difference. And you'd be surprised how much you can get done when everyone is on the same page, from every person in the organization, including those in the field that are most important and know the most about the work that they're doing. What happens in the leadership flywheel, where we usually spend our time under stress, is we double down on alignment and execution. It sounds something like, can't we get anything done around here? Why can't anybody just finish the project? Why can't we move forward? And you double down on manipulative tactics and scare tactics, and then everyone, you lose trust, and the flywheel stops spinning. What we want is a healthy, green, spinning flywheel that's tied to our strategic plan, where safety is interwoven into every aspect of how we do business, rather than it being separate. That's how you can make a difference. That's how you can achieve far more than ever thought possible. And that will also result suddenly, and you don't have to focus on your lagging indicators because they start to go down as your trust and your communication goes up. So until we dismantle the safety silos, we're going to continue to have accidents. It's just a reality. And we really can't achieve operational excellence, which is the goal. So when we fail at safety, we impact lives. And when we expand the definition of safety, we can include emotional well-being, acceptance, diversity, and inclusion, and we can achieve more than ever thought possible. My goal is that we quit even having to use the word safety. That's our journey within my organization that I work with now. Because the more we're planning on the same page, the better off we'll all be. So it took an engineer and an inventor to create a seatbelt. It took a government and a public outcry to make them mandatory. It took time for it to become a way of life. And I believe we can do the exact same thing with safety if we just give people a vision to where it's not separate and it's a part of how we do business every day. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the ERMI podcast. For more insightful topics like this, consider attending the ERMI Construction Risk Conference, which will be held October 27th through the 30th of 2024. To learn more, go to ERMI.com.